The Department of Religious Studies at the University of Kansas is conducting a research project that seeks to preserve the history of various churches and other religious organizations in Kansas. We would like to record your memories of your experience in religious organizations. We expect that each interview will take about 1 hour. We assure you that you are not obligated to participate and may discontinue your involvement at any time. Since we are trying to create a public record of Kansas religious history, we are primarily interviewing persons who agree to let their interviews be available to the general public through a website and to be identified by name as the person who is interviewed. If you have questions about this project, please contact Professor Tim Miller at 785-864-7263 or tkansas@ku.edu. If you should have any questions about your rights as a research participant, you may call the Human Subjects Protection Office at 785-864-7429 or email mdeming@ku.edu. We say that at the end of each interview, so it's recorded. Mm-hmm. Today's date is April 23rd, 2018. All right, so what is your name?
My name is Michael Swoyer, mm-hmm. and that's spelled MichaelSwoyer.
Excellent. And where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Kansas City. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, since okay. we're in Overland Park. I grew up in Kansas City and have basically lived here all of my life.
Okay, excellent. Where'd you go to school?
High school or college?
High school or college.
Well, both. I went to a high school north of the river mm-hmm. In North Kansas City. I went to Oak Park High School
okay.
in North Kansas City. Well, Kansas City North, since North Kansas City is actually a separate city and a separate high school. And then I went to MU
okay.
for my undergrad.
Okay.
And then got a master's at Central Michigan University that actually had a cohort down here. So.
Okay, very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, so.
And so, sort of repeating, where do you live now?
I live north of the river in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, excellent. And you are a member at Trinity?
Mm-hmm. Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity. Excellent. And do you know where that's located? Not the exact address.
Well, it's 119th and Flum.
Okay, wonderful. And you are a convert to Eastern Orthodoxy?
Yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. What practice or religion did you follow before conversion, if any?
I didn't really have one. I mean, vaguely, I was a Methodist, United Methodist Church.
Okay, gotcha.
But it was very vague,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
All right. Can you tell me a little bit about the process of conversion to Eastern Orthodoxy? How long did it take, what was the process for you?
It happened about 2000. Mm-hmm. I went to a friend of mine mm-hmm. At work, mm-hmm. was an Eastern Orthodox, and he invited me. For some reason, I had just heard about Eastern Orthodoxy mm-hmm. and had expressed some interest to him. It just seemed like it was very interesting. There was a lot of, a lot of the belief system that was completely different from what I'd heard before. And it just intrigued me, so I decided to go with him. There was a lot of things going on personally in my life at the time too that made me question a lot of the beliefs that were going on that I already had. The Methodist Church wasn't really cutting it. It was just kind of a bland sort of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The church I was in was, and I guess you could say still is to this day, very much of a middle-of-the-road sort of non-threatening sort of church, not very committed to anything. So I just went to Eastern Orthodoxy, and I've never... It was very deep and fulfilling, and not in a wild emotional way, but actually in more of a rich and enveloping way, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It fulfills you. rather than frightens you or anything or anything else.
Yeah,
it fulfills you. It comforts you and makes you feel like home. I remember when I actually joined, the priest at the time, Father John, looked at us all and said, "Welcome home," and he was right.
That's fantastic. And that process, what was the timeline for it?
Probably about 4 months from start to finish. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Did you do that at any time, like during, like were there any major holidays during that time period, like Easter or,
yeah,
or Christmas or
Pascha? Yeah, I joined. Yeah. I started going. I think it was during the winter time, and went all the way through Lent and. Mm-hmm. Was chrismated on Holy Saturday before Pascha, and then celebrated my first Pascha. Pascha's our Easter.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And can you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I was just, okay. Yeah, I was just very, I went through a lot of the rituals and everything else, a lot of the services and all that, and did a lot of the different things, and then Pascha was, and then Holy Saturday was chrismated, took my very first communion, and then afterwards, celebrated the first Pascha.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you think living in the Midwest influenced your conversion journey at all? Like, there are considerably more, say, like, Lutheran churches in the Midwest than there are Holy Orthodox churches in America.
Yeah.
So was that ever sort of an obstacle for you at all?
No. There's something really special about the Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different. There's a lot of different denominations. And you can walk in on any denomination, and they'll all say one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't have that sense of history,
mm-hmm.
and they all. They all believe in different things, and different ways to believe, and they all emphasize one thing over another, and I just, you know, you just don't find, I guess, they kind of talk about the fullness of the faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're in an Orthodox church, it just seems like everything's there. They didn't leave anything out, and they didn't add anything either. So it's just the fullness of it all. Now, I'm far from a perfect person, you know, far from it, but I get the sense that you know, no matter what I do or how short I fall, that the church is there to heal me, as opposed to condemn me or point fingers at me or whatever and say you're bad or you're good or exalt me or anything else. It's there as a spiritual hospital to take care of me and everybody else there. You know, we don't go there individually. You know, we're all in a group getting there together. You know, we're all like rowing in a boat.
Yeah.
You know, we all have to mm-hmm. row together to get there.
It's a really good way to put it. So you've already sort of talked a little bit about your conversion journey. Is there anything else, do you think, that attracted you to Eastern Orthodoxy besides what you've already sort of expressed?
Well, yeah, like the history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a big history nut.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
You know, so, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm a huge history nut. And just following the history, I mean, the fact that it literally does go all the way back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like something else where you find out, you know, oh, and by the way, our founder picked up a rock and there was the truth right there 500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, this goes all the way back, you know, mm-hmm. and you can follow all the people all the way back to Jesus and everything else and the disciples and the apostles, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, down back to Pentecost, you know, mm-hmm. those apostles ordained other people who ordained other people all the way up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can follow those people all the way up. So it's historical record there. I mean, you know, the liturgy we use, even though it was written in 325, was still basically the same liturgy that they were using before. So, you know, the services are the same. Everything has basically continued on for a couple of thousand years, you know. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's just got a tremendous track record, and that impresses me, because they don't, and it has a, you know, I like the fact that it self-corrects too. Mm-hmm. You know, you get wild bishops that say weird things, or you get wild people that say weird things, but, you know, you have to have everybody agreeing on it. So, it's slow to change. Mm-hmm. And while in this world today, we're all like, oh, yeah, we've got to be competitive, and we've got to change and all that. Well, that's good in some ways. Some ways that's not so good. You know, if you have something that's steady like that, you might not want to change. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's things you don't want to change. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a reason why you don't want to change. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a reason why you want to stand fast.
Definitely. Definitely.
To what's been thought of before, and it, you know. All the councils, I mean, they were all basically unanimous decisions, mm-hmm. of what was believed. So, mm-hmm. everything's just come all the way from there. So, I mean, it's just got a really solid background that I don't know. It's instead of one guy sitting there going, "Oh, I found the truth. Here it is," mm-hmm. and getting a bunch of people to agree with him, mm-hmm. it's a whole bunch of people agreeing on something. Following up from there.
Gotcha. Yeah. So sort of moving towards Holy Trinity specifically, what sort of fellowship activities do you do outside of your regular worship services?
Well, Holy Trinity as it stands right now is a half hour from my house, so uh-huh. that's a little yeah. tough. I mean, yeah. I sing in the choir, and I go to choir practices when I can. Mm-hmm. And I've agreed to participate in the, I think we're in the, I mean, I think it's the mission group or something like that. I've agreed to participate, but so far that hasn't really happened, you know, or just the different thing. I'm just super interested in a lot of, I'm super interested in the future of Orthodoxy in the United mm-hmm. States. You know, I'd love to see an Orthodox church, an American Orthodox church, but, you know, with our rapid change capacity, that'll yeah. never happen. Won't happen in my lifetime, but there's missions, and we're all trying to cooperate and everything else, and have like an inter-counselor. Everybody got all the different dioceses kind mm-hmm. of talk. So I'm involved okay. in that, but so far nothing's happened with that. Mm-hmm. But I sing with the choir. I mean, when I converted, the mm-hmm. church was on Russian Hill in Kansas City, Kansas, mm-hmm. which is only about 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very convenient. But, you know, they had to move because mm-hmm. they were outgrowing that church.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Father Jim was talking about.
Yeah. Tony.
Okay. So what does a typical worship service look like? You can be as detailed or not detailed as you want.
Have you been to one?
I have been to one, but not at Holy Trinity. I went to a service in Lawrence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, to be frank about it, mm-hmm. I always miss like the first 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Not intentionally. Mm-hmm. It's because my mother, mm-hmm. my daughter's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she takes my daughter is like the darling of my old Methodist church. Uh-huh. So my mom takes her with her to the morning service, where everybody just pets her and all that, because she's yeah. like the only child there. Mm-hmm. The church is really, really old. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of old people go there, so everybody just loves my daughter. and wants to be, you know, wants to give her high fives and candy and, you know, all that as she's walking up. And my daughter naturally eats it up, you know. So I have to go by and pick her up after the service is over and then take her out to our church.
Teach her services.
Yeah. Because my daughter, when I took her out there the first time, said, basically, I guess I want to be Orthodox. You know, she immediately, it was like, I didn't say a word, I promise you. I was just going like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going like, okay, well, honey, this is my church, and, you know, and she, I want to be Orthodox, you know, so she immediately fell in love with it. And she's got a lot of buddies out there, too, so that's helpful.
Well, are there lots of kids at Holy Trinity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah, yeah, there are a lot of kids.
Okay.
Lots of kids. You find that I was listening to a podcast one time. They were talking about this is way off topic, but they were talking about how many of the Western churches had become really feminized, and not that that's a bad thing. Okay, I mean, you know, I believe me, I've totally become much more of a feminist since I have a daughter now.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, girl power, yay. But yeah, many of the churches have become feminized, and that was part of the reason is you find that a lot of the church, what's keeping the churches open is the women. You know, the men just kind of show up, but the women are the ones that are keeping the doors open. Did not happen in Eastern Orthodoxy. It was a conscious decision by the Catholic Church to do that, and the Protestant churches, which grew out of the Catholic Church, has followed suit. So, to this day, it's the women that are the backbone of the church, and the men are just more or less there. They show up, but the women are the ones that are really running things. And this was in a podcast. Fairly recently, so, but they said, yeah, the only ones that that doesn't happen in are the Orthodox churches.
Never really considered that at all.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of the podcast?
Yeah, it was the Manliness Podcast. The Art of Manliness Podcast.
The Art of Manliness?
Yeah, the Art of Manliness Podcast. I just happened, you know, like I said, I'm not this, I'm probably a lot more liberal than most of the people you're going to interview. Because I'm sure we have a lot of people from the church that are very, you know, conservative. Not me, but the Art of Manliness podcast. That was one of the chapters they were speaking about the feminization of churches and everything else. And it was just I thought it was fascinating, and they specifically said Orthodox churches are not falling victim to that.
I will check that out. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But one of the and you see it, I mean, there are lots of families in Orthodox churches, and they bring their kids. And as a matter of fact, Pascha, you know, I don't know if you're aware of that, but Pascha starts at 11:30 at night. And goes till 4 o'clock in the morning, basically.
Wow.
You know, I mean, and the kids are there.
Okay.
I mean, I took my daughter for the first time, and she's freaking out because I'm going, you know, like 11:30, and I, come on, honey, we're going to go. I took a nap. You know, you took a nap. We're going to go. And she's like, eh. You know, she's never been there before and everything. Come on, we're going to go. So she ends up, and she's laying on the ground having a little, while the entire service is going on, she's having like a little slumber party with a couple of her friends. Are all laying on the ground having a pig where everybody's yelling, Christ is risen, truly is risen, or in different languages. Christos Anesti, Lithos Anesti, you know, different like Greek, or Christos Voskresi, Voistinu Voskresi, I think that's the Russian one. And you know, they do it all in different languages. And they're all yelling it, and they're all walking around, swinging incense and everything else. But the kids are all in the periphery, laying down, trying to get some shut eye. And then we have a big feast that goes till like all night long. You
That's
know?
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's a real feast. So that's one of the things I talk about, the realness of the church. I mean, you know, we're feasting. I mean, we haven't had meat in 40 days, so we're having like meat and drinking and having a real feast. It's not like we're serving grape juice or anything like that. We're drinking, you know, slivovitz and all that other stuff and shots and everything. We're partying.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean,
for real. You
yeah.
know?
And yeah. Like, and that, and you, I assume that you go from the sanctuary down to, do you have a hall?
Down to the hall, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I walked out one time and, you know, we were walking out, we were having a big party and everything. These people were walking by and said, what are you doing? I said, we're celebrating Pascha and everything. Mm-hmm. We're having a party, you know, and, I said, look, guy looked in and said, you're drinking in there. And I said, yeah, that's what we do. You know, I said,
yeah.
And he's kind of like, wow, that's cool, you know,
yeah.
Because we're celebrating. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, Christ is risen. You know, truly is risen, and we're celebrating the fact. I mean, it's not just, you know, and they talk about that. They talk about the fact that, you know, we're not doing it to deprive ourselves. We're doing it to ready ourselves, you know, so to speak. And we don't look at it like it's a sacrifice, or we're not walking around moping. It's more like we're glad.
Mm-hmm.
That we're doing this,
mm-hmm.
we're happy, you know. You know, you don't walk around. I've given up meat. I'm so depressed. No, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've given up meat for 40 days. I'm giving up meat and milk and cheese and all this other stuff. And I'm so, look at how much I'm suffering. You know, people talk about that. You know, because there's Bible verses where they talk about people that are fasting, and you know the. I can't remember which one it was, the Pharisees just in there fasting and beating themselves with sackcloth and ashes. And Jesus goes, well, they get their reward. Everybody gets to see them how much they're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's their reward. But the people that are, you know, the people that are doing it with happy faces and everything else, you know, hey, I'm happy to be here, you know. So I know I'm not completing any coherent thoughts, but, you know, that...
No, very good. This is all awesome. Thank you for letting me.
It's a celebration, you know, and then you really celebrate because you're really happy. And that's one of the things about the church is they teach you in all ways. I mean, it's a very multi-sensory experience because you're there, the sounds, the smells, the sights. The feelings, it's all there to provide you a lesson and to let you know what awaits. So everything is there for you. It's like my ex-wife. She said it beautifully. I have to say, you know, I said, you know, she goes like, well, I tell you what, at the end, of, if you don't know Christ is risen, by the end of that Pascha, you believe it. You know, because, I mean, the service goes on for like 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very good. I mean, you know, after 1,700 plus years of doing the same thing, they're very good at doing what they do. So, you know.
Yeah.
The people participate.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody participates, and we're all very happy.
Okay, awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool. I didn't
really... So, answer your question about the services that you originally asked me. What is a service? A service starts with just. The praise. I'm sorry, I didn't actually really answer the question. But
no, you're fantastic. Thank you.
You do praise. You ask God to have mercy on you because we're humble, because we know we can't possibly do it. We know we're not worthy of mercy, but we ask God to have mercy on us.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're not worthy of mercy, but through God's grace, God gives us mercy. Grants us mercy. So it's like, you know, Jesus came to lift us up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ask God for forgiveness and everything else. And then there's a reading of the epistles or something like that, followed by the priest coming out and reading from the gospel, mm-hmm. from the life of Jesus, and then they go into a homily, mm-hmm. which is the sermon, mm-hmm. and which is, you know, typically the highlight of most other churches, mm-hmm. except for us and Catholics, I guess. Although not really, but then there's a lot of praise after that. We do a lot of praise, and then we do our belief system, the Nicene Creed. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe one God, the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. Big difference between us. Did they tell you about the difference about the Catholics adding the Filioque?
Go ahead and.
Okay. That's one of the reasons why we split. Yeah, the history. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we and the Catholics are no longer together is mm-hmm. because they added the phrase, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, mm-hmm. and then the Catholics added the phrase, and the Son, mm-hmm. to that. Mm-hmm. And all the Protestant churches kept that, by the way, so mm-hmm. that's why they kept that in their DNA. Catholics added the Filioque, which means and the Son. Mm-hmm. And we've always said the Holy Spirit proceeds, and the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. Mm-hmm. Didn't add that part. We say they added it. We might have allowed it, mm-hmm. but we never had a council about it. We never agreed to it. Mm-hmm. And that was the other reason we split, is because the Pope had said, I'm the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And so I get to say what's in there, and you have to obey me. Mm-hmm. And we said, you're more like the chairman of the board. You get we give you like honor, mm-hmm. and everything else, but you get one vote just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And so, so he said, no, I'm the head. I get to decide everything. And we said, no, basically that was the other reason. There were a few other things too, but that's basically the two reasons. Okay. They added the phrase, and he said, I'm the head, so I get to tell you what to do. Like, no. Mm-hmm. All the other patriarchs are still in communion. Mm-hmm. And he's not, which is not quite fair too, because the Oriental Orthodox, if you're familiar with them, split mm-hmm. off a lot earlier than from us, mm-hmm. over some other issues. So, you know, it's a little tricky. Mm-hmm. Although we're thinking about, I think we'll probably get back with the Oriental Orthodox, because a lot of that's all semantics now. Mm-hmm. It's over the nature of Christ. Mm-hmm.
The nature of Christ seems pretty.
It's a pretty big. It was a pretty big deal at the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Greeks were really, really big into theology, and in the Eastern Mediterranean, they had a big, big arguments about it, and it was basically, was Christ divine, or was he man, or was he both, or was he one nature or the other, was he two separate natures, or was he intermixed, or what was the deal, and mm-hmm. and so, you know, and then we had the Arians, up mm-hmm. above, who were going like, no, Christ wasn't divine, he wasn't really the Son of God, he was just a man and all that, he wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, which we have Arians now, mm-hmm. we have people that believe in different things now that don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and so, you know, we have all these philosophies that have existed, but they're like heresies, mm-hmm. to put it, you know, put a name on it,
yeah,
and to us,
yeah.
I shouldn't say to us, because, you know.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. So after the Nicene Creed is...
After the Creed, we do the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. We do, and you know, there's a lot of stuff, ceremony leading up to both of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we eventually get to the part where we do the communion, which mm-hmm. is really the highlight of the... of the service, mm-hmm. the liturgy, mm-hmm. the communion is where we all eat partake of the blood, body and blood of Christ. Yeah. We all do it together.
Yes.
And then after that, after we do the body and blood of Christ, it's just pretty much, you know, zip, bam, boom, we're done.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry, I had a question. Have you been to any other Orthodox churches? Yeah. No. How has the, has it, has, is Holy Trinity, is it all, would you say, is there any slight deviances that you've seen at all?
Or? Yeah, there's a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not much, but mm-hmm. you know, like the one down at St. Mary's, mm-hmm. Down or East, the one is a Serbian church,
mm-hmm.
Serbian diocese, and they do like they say in the Lord's Prayer, they say, "Forgive us our debts." We mm-hmm. say, "Forgive us our trespasses."
Mm-hmm.
Little tiny things.
Okay.
When they're doing the creed, they have all the kids gathered together, and they have all the kids ring bells at the important stuff. We have a big bell ringer that rings mm-hmm. the bell. Nothing major, just mm-hmm. little cultural things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, little cultural differences that are inherent in each culture.
Yeah.
Because each culture has their own church, or each country has their own patriarch mm-hmm. and church, more or less. A lot of times, I guess the history of it is that a lot of times churches declare themselves autocephalous, in other words, self-headed,
mm-hmm.
and the other churches go, "No, you're not. You're not ready yet." And then 100 or 200 years later, they go, "Oh, okay, I guess you were." You know, so it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's like that. I mean, you know, we're OCA, the St. Holy Trinity is an OCA, Orthodox Church in America,
yeah.
church, and we declared ourselves autocephalous, and we are autocephalous. In other words, we're mm-hmm. self-headed. We have our own metropolitan.
Mm-hmm.
But the other churches, like the Ecumenical Patriarch in Constantinople, Istanbul,
mm-hmm.
said, "No, you're not. You're not self-headed. No, mm-hmm. no." So it takes a little while for them to recognize us as being self-headed. And then besides that, we're in this situation where all these other jurisdictions are here, and they're all under the jurisdiction of somebody else from overseas. So mm-hmm. we're supposed to be all under one jurisdiction. Mm-hmm.
Am I airing too much
of the dirty laundry, or is that
no? This is fantastic. Thank you.
Do you know about all this?
I'm not super aware. I know of it
okay.
in passing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's supposed to be under the same jurisdiction, basically. Mm-hmm. In the United States, the Lower 48, the first church was a Greek church in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But the first liturgy was celebrated by Russians in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alaska has a very rich history of Eastern Orthodoxy.
Yeah, well, you know, it was Russian for up until 1867, mm-hmm. I think it was. So they were all, and then, you know, they came down to San Francisco and declared that the head of the church was Russian. And then mm-hmm. along comes the Russian Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Which messed up everything.
And then in the Russian Revolution, they're like, "No church," yeah.
With basically, yeah, I mean, you know, I've studied a lot. I'm probably going to get dates and names and places wrong, but yeah, the Russian Revolution said there were people that said, "Well, we're still following the patriarch in Russia." Some people said he was compromised because mm-hmm. he was operating under the communists, so he's compromised, and so we can't follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed another branch that we're now in communion with, but mm-hmm. for a long time we weren't, mm-hmm. called ROKOR, mm-hmm. Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, but now we're in communion with them again.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, all these other churches had come in and went out.
There we go. Excellent.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and it's still recording on the regular mic too. So.
So yeah, all the different jurisdictions had come mm-hmm. with their own ethnic groups, and they'd already formed up all these churches. So we already had all these different churches and bishops
mm-hmm.
coming in and everything, and you know, theoretically or under what we were supposed to do, we should have one church under one jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
and it should be united, you mm-hmm. know, everybody, and technically, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, who should it be? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, like I said, the first, it could be Greek, it could be Russian. You know, the Greeks are the most, got the most, but
mm-hmm.
but they're apparently really Greek. That's the one, I mean, I've only been to like mm-hmm. one, I think I've been to one Greek church.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't too Greek because it was in the south,
mm-hmm.
and they really had to accommodate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it, you know, the Greeks were really thin on the ground there, so
yeah.
So yeah. they had to accommodate everybody. So they, as a matter of fact, I walked in and there somebody was playing an organ up above while they were singing.
Okay.
And I was going like, where did I wander into?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. Yeah. It's a little. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you know, there's a Western Rite Orthodox Church too. You know.
Really.
Yeah, I guess the Antiochians sponsor that one, where it's basically a Catholic sort of ceremony, or what looks like Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
but it's got a Western rite, so okay. it's a Western liturgy. And that, I guess that's under the Antiochian bunch. So, yeah, there's different. I mean, those would really be different from what we're used to.
Yeah.
We follow the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are following a completely different one.
Mm.
And like I said, it's a Roman, basically.
Yeah.
Liturgy.
Roman.
Without any of the stuff that Rome threw in there afterwards.
ancient Roman liturgy.
I would guess so. I don't know who actually wrote it.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but yeah.
Excellent. Oh gosh, sorry, circling back a little bit.
Yeah, too much detail.
I apologize.
No,
I don't want
to
seem off topic.
Yeah.
So you sort of described to me the typical worship service. What's your favorite part?
What's my favorite
yeah.
part? Well, I sing, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of like the homily because we got to sit down. We stand through the whole thing. So I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. I noticed that you guys had pews in your church, which is I didn't see that when I had visited the one in Lawrence. That was interesting.
They changed that. It used to be we didn't have pews. So I was mm-hmm. kind of surprised because mm-hmm. I left for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little bit of a crisis of faith, and mm-hmm. that I left for a long time, and then came back, and it was. And then, you know, mm-hmm. glad to be back. But they had the pews in place when I came back.
Happy to have the pews now.
Pardon me?
Is that, are you happy to have the pews now?
Well, I'm up there singing, so
okay.
we have chairs.
Ah, behind, gotcha.
Yeah, so we have chairs up there anyway. And
okay.
I do, and I have a bad back, so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of like, you know, I sit there going, well, I'm an old guy now, so, you know, you have to let me sit down occasionally.
Yeah, gotcha. We talked a little bit about just sort of like all the different branches. But how is Holy Trinity sort of governed? I know at the church I work at, we've got different boards for like fellowship, like mission. So I didn't know if perhaps Trinity had something similar at all.
Well, I'm not really that privy to it.
Okay.
But I know we have a parish council.
Okay.
And that's as far as I really know. I mean,
okay.
It's a parish council, and they pretty much run things.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So what kind of relationship does Holy Trinity have with other local religious organizations? Do you guys ever post?
We have rumbles with the, we have, you know.
Well, hi.
Yeah, we have knife fights with the
church. Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, come on, you.
Yeah. Naturally.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Come on, you filthy Protestants. We have St. Mary of Egypt is an inner city Orthodox church, and they do sponsor free meals. So every Friday, they give away free meals, and we go down and cook. We cook and serve with them. And I know there's an inner, I know there's a council of like Orthodox, there's kind of like a Kansas City Council. I don't know how frequently they meet, but I know that exists. I don't know about other groups in Kansas City because I'm not really privy to that information. But I know we do help serve those meals kind of on a rotating basis.
Okay, excellent. So you like volunteer on for like certain days. Do you like volunteer ahead of time?
Or I think the church volunteers. Church sends their people down.
Okay, okay.
I've been down there in a long time. I need to get down there more. But like I said, I've got a really bad back. And so... I used to go down more.
So you said you had a daughter. Mm-hmm. How did having kids sort of change your experience in Eastern Orthodoxy? And did she... Was she born into it? You said she goes to a couple different church services. What's the...
No, she was born. And this was during my... this was during my period of wandering out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And so she was born, and I came back, went back, and then I'm a little bit sad about that because mm-hmm. there were some people I wish I could have, that were my friends when I was there before that, mm-hmm. that you know, passed away or whatever, mm-hmm. that while I was gone, and I wish I could have met, they could have met her, mm-hmm. but they didn't get to, they stay here, you know, obviously, down, but she is, it's like she wants to be, she, like I said, she just fell in love with it the minute she walked in. She does. I think she freaks out at Grammy, though, because her Grammy's been there a couple of times. Uh-huh. And, you know, they do the thing where they, it's, her Grammy's very much a little bit like, what in the world is going on? So when my daughter gets up and, like, the priest goes by with the Holy Host and everything, mm-hmm. and, you know, done the procession, and she gets up to touch his robe as he goes by her and all that, and she goes like, what are you doing? It's like, what on earth? You know, all these kids are getting up to, like, touch it as he goes by. So I think that freaks her out a little bit.
Gotcha. So can you tell me about some of your best or worst experiences?
Best and or worst experiences.
At Holy Trinity.
Well, getting chrismated was probably one of the best experiences. I remember... I just felt, like I said, like I was coming home. Mm-hmm. Being there, it helped me through a very tough time in my life, you know, mm-hmm. both going through there and my marriage was breaking up and everything else, which was not good. So it helped me through that a lot. Mm-hmm. Not quite all the way, because my marriage, I kind of left and then my marriage broke up and all that. So, no, I guess my marriage did break up first before I left. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess it did help me through that part. Mm-hmm. But, there's just some things, just a lot of things just happened at that, about that time.
Yeah.
My father passed away, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, it helped me through that. But, yeah, getting chrismated definitely. Meeting a lot of the people there, being with a lot of the people. It was very warming. Coming back, definitely a great experience. Just seeing my daughter chrismated, that was a very great experience. Having her at her first Pascha, my first Pascha, was a wonderful experience. Father John's passing away, the first priest that I knew, he passed away.
While he was serving the community?
Yeah, he was at the Holy Trinity and he passed away, years. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember what year it was, but it was that was awful because, he was a wonderful priest and he was really an inspiration for me. Mm-hmm. And that was just horrible.
He
passed away from cancer. Oof. It was just really quick. Oof. That was horrible. kind of a funny one. I mean, the first time we ever did, we did Forgiveness Sunday. I don't know if you're familiar with that ritual. You heard about that one? Where you all get down and kneel to each other.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's... That's like the start of Lent. You get, everybody gets together, kneels to everybody else, and begs everybody else for their forgiveness.
Okay.
So we all get down and not kneel, actually prostrate ourselves to each other.
Okay.
I did that, and my legs were so sore the next day. Now Holy Trinity, when it was back at Russian Hill, consisted of a whole bunch of steps. I swear the next day I could just barely make it up those steps. Man, I'm going to have to establish base camp on the first two for trying to attempt the assault on it. I am dead. That was awful. I prostrated myself probably 50 or 60 times that first time. And it was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. I was so wrong. Full prostration. You go all the way down and,
Way to start off the Holy Week.
Lent. Apologies. Now my daughter just really took to it. She thought that was just the coolest thing ever. So she loves that. She loved that the first time she did it. She was like, oh, I love this, and she's like, yeah. We try to work things out. When we have our little tiffs, we go forgive each other and all that. So
that's good.
And there's good and bad.
Yeah.
You know.
No. As there are in communities, you know. Can you think of anyone else I should interview? Anyone that...
Converts?
Sticks out particularly. I got the list from Father Tim, but I didn't know if you had anyone sort of like outside of the community that you...
No.
No?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's... Yeah. Did you mention Dale?
Yes.
Yeah. Dale and Vicky. Yeah. Dale's the one that was my friend that convinced me to come
on. Okay.
So, yeah.
Excellent. I think I've been in communications with a lot of people. I'm going to meet... I'm meeting someone later.
Okay.
Scott. Dudley?
I probably don't. I know him probably, but I just don't. Yeah. The name's just not ringing a bell. Because I'm old now. And names are...
Yeah.
Names mean nothing to me anymore.
That's the conclusion of our interview.
Okay.
And...